Hi there, and welcome to episode 315 of the Ski Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Martin, and today is the second in our series of Chamonix Story. If you are a regular listener, you'll know that I was lucky enough to spend 2 months in Chamonix last winter. Episode 313 was a special on what makes Chamonix so special, from history to high mountain, glaciers to guides. But as I was interviewing people from around the valley, it soon became clear that I couldn't tell all their stories within that single episode. And so this series came together. I have six Chamonix stories to share with you, all touching on different elements of what makes Chamonix special. In episode 314, we met Chamonix-based freeride ski brand Zag Skis, and today we have a complete gear shift as we're moving off the mountain to find out about a unique project that blends stunning natural locations in Chamonix with mindfulness and dancing. Silent Sessions is a project run by Chamonix local Katie McInnes. So let's sit back and listen to the second of our Chamonix stories. Right, I'm delighted to be joined today by Chamonix local Katie McInnes, described on your own website as a musician, dancer, restaurant owner and events planner turned yoga teacher.
Some people might call that a Swiss Army knife. I think that when you live somewhere like Chamonix, you need to have a multitude of skills in order to survive the ever-changing community and life that is here. So, yeah, that's how my life's evolved here.
Cool. Well, it's been very interesting meeting lots of people from Chamonix during my time here. And I wanted to invite you onto the podcast to discuss your fantastic Silent Sessions events that you run in Chamonix. And I was lucky enough to join you for one of those. And we'll talk about that in more detail later on. But I wondered perhaps if we could start by letting listeners know how long you've been in Chamonix and what brought you here.
Yeah, well, I did that classic thing of going for a gap year when I was 18, and I ended up in Chamonix. There was a Canadian guy that was opening a bar here. He was looking for staff. And at that point, I was very into the hospitality industry, as I was in my career anyway. So the opportunity to come to Chamonix, which had this incredible skiing, and be part of a bar opening, it was too much for an 18-year-old to handle. So, yes, I came and did my first season. And then, now I've been here 28 years.
Nice. And which bar was that you worked in that first season?
Well, it was actually called the Sundance Saloon, but it's no longer here, actually. It had then morphed into a bar that was called the Nine Bar, and that's now an apartment. So sadly, it's not. I can't revisit it anymore, sadly.
Well, you know, I have referred in other interviews to the changes that we've seen in Chamonix. A few bars have, passed along the way during that time. But I think also I mentioned in the intro, you've run a couple of restaurants here in Chamonix during that time as well.
Yeah, I was very lucky that one of the things I'm very passionate about is restaurant work. And I've always wanted to have my own bar and restaurant, which was very much a focus from the start. And in 2004, I opened the first place called Le Delice in Les Ouches with a business partner, Fred. And then following that in 2011 with Simon and John, I opened The Kitchen, which was one of those real passionate places where we had live music, après-ski. A very vibrant place that's still being run now by a lady called Claire. So, yeah, it's great. They are still carrying on.
Cool. And you mentioned that you came to Chamonix on a gap year. What was it about Chamonix that, you know, made you want to stay here? That I don't know if it's possible to kind of encapsulate that, but you know, you've obviously lived here a long time now. You know, there's something special about this place, right?
Yeah, I mean, of course, the first thing that draws you into Chamonix, I think for most people, is the mountains, the scenery, the incredible landscape, and of course these very amazing seasons we have. So beautiful snowy winters and then balmy summers. So that's what came for me was the pull initially to come and ski. But then as I settled here, I discovered it's a year-round community. It's a year-round town that's very vibrant. And I studied French, so I wanted to move to France. And admittedly, it's not the most immersive community for the French speaking. You have to really fight to speak French here. But I love the international side of it. And the fact that there's such a constant flow of people coming and going. So you kind of get the beautiful security of a town and the community from that, but also the excitement of people coming and going. And when I first arrived, we could sit around a table and there'd be 10 different countries represented and different languages being spoken. And it was so exciting and vibrant. And this sense that because nobody really has their families here, that everyone's very supportive. And so in any kind of moment, whether you're celebrating or dealing with something quite difficult, there's such a community support. And that in itself is just, you know, it's such a reason to stay here. People are heart-led. They're exciting.
Cool. So Evidently, you know, Chamonix is special to you. I mentioned in the intro that you've covered a lot of ground while you've been here. You know, you turned yoga teacher now, but I think you do kind of more than that. You have a business called Mountains and Valley Retreats. I wondered if you could try and explain what you offer there.
Yeah, I was working within the kind of corporate event world, and then I decided that I wanted to gear that towards more well-being experiences. So I set up my own project, Mountains and Valleys, and I've managed to buy some land in the Les Bossons area up by the Forest Line. And I have a project to build a house to run retreats and experiences there. And in the meantime, while the house is being built, I've been working from a yurt tent and just out in nature, running classes, workshops, and these wonderful wild dances that I've been doing with silent sessions. And the concept really just creating experiences for people to be able to slow down, to connect to their bodies, to nature, and to learn tools to help sort of navigate life's ups and downs.
You mentioned silent sessions. I mean, let's talk about that, because that's how we came across each other, although it turns out we know many people in common in the Chamonix Valley. I wonder perhaps if you could explain to listeners, you know, what we're talking about in relation to silent sessions.
So Silent Sessions is a company that's been set up by my dear friend Jenna. She's got 100 headsets and has this beautiful concept where you take a group of people out into nature and you put on the headsets and you are led and guided through an immersive sound journey. She's collaborated with a few different people, but the one that's the collaboration that I'm doing with her is an immersive journey where we create this curated playlist of very exciting music and lead participants in what's a guided dance, effectively.
Yeah.
An opportunity for people to, you know, move their bodies out in nature.
I love that. I mean, a simple way of putting it might be to call it a kind of roaming outdoor silent disco. Because most people might have probably put on headphones and done a silent disco, but this is extremely different from that. I think, you know, one of the things that stands out is the locations. When I joined you, we're in a fantastic spot in Le Bois. In one direction, I could see the Drue and the Aiguille Verte. In the other direction, I could see Mont Blanc. We had the Aveyron running next to us. It was such a great location. But how do you pick those locations then? Because you've roamed around all over the valley, haven't you?
Yeah, well, after 28 years of exploring the valley and trying to find lovely locations for picnics, I think you kind of start to know where there's spots. I mean, of course, we need it to be flat because people are going to be dancing and moving, but you want it to have a beautiful vista. You want it to have a lovely big wide sky if we're doing it in the evening. So it depends on the weather. It depends if there's snow on the ground. But really, it's, you know, trying to find somewhere exciting that we want to host it. But also, it needs to be someone quite private because you want the people to be able to really let go and have fun. And if you're in the middle of a spot where people are walking past, it just wouldn't work. So we know we explore and roam and do lots of recce to find great spots.
So there've been various other locations. Did you do one by the Cascade du Dard at one point?
Yeah, we decided to do one there while the restaurant's been closed during the winter. It has a lovely flat platform and you have the incredible sound of the waterfall in the background and a beautiful view of the mountains and the sunset. So that was a really dream location, but we're slightly limited. We couldn't do that with a huge group, but it was a very nice small group location.
So having attended, I'd probably describe it as a cross between a mindfulness session and a rave. Do you want to try and explain how you run those sessions?
I don't know. That feels like very, very good wording. I might use that one in the future. Now, the idea, the one you've obviously come to is a community experience we've been doing, which is allowing people from the community, anyone's welcome to sign up. We also run sessions for corporate or groups or birthdays. But this community session was very much that idea where people arrive with a brief explanation of how the headsets work, a little introduction to who's running it and everybody there. We pop the headsets on and then the music begins. And the initial part is about allowing the individual to land in the space, to get away from what they've been doing that day, to feel back into the body. So just kind of awareness. And then we have a moment of stillness where we will bring some kind of reflection, depending on the theme of whatever's going on, perhaps in the world, perhaps in the season, or whether it was for an event that was particularly bespoke, whatever the theme is. And then after that, we begin to move. So we breathe, we do somatic movement, we warm up the body, but in a way that's quite playful and quite alive. And then we're going to move into this beautiful free dance, which will be led with the music or with the DJ, if we're lucky enough to have a DJ. And then we land at the end, back down, bringing the individual back down, calming the nervous system, completing this cycle.
Cool. And what listeners might not understand is when you say we, in fact, it's you taking us through the journey, because as well as listening to the music in our headphones, we're listening to your voice, rather like a, you know, a yoga teacher, you know, taking through a session. You're leading us with your voice in our ears through exercises for breathing, or learning how to, you know, thinking about how you're going to use your body, etc. Yeah. You're leading that session.
Yes. And I mean, I've done yoga training, but also through my experiences and learning tools that help people kind of become more aware of their bodies. Yeah, giving people cues, allowing them to feel the music, but also be led a little bit. I think that really helps in these kind of sessions. But I do say we, because there's Jenna, who is organizing the event, who's running the headsets. And also recently, we've been collaborating with Andre, the DJ from Criticala, who's running the DJ sound journey as well. So yes, I am guiding it, but there is a team of us making the whole experience happen, making it complete so that the individuals feel very held and very safe, and also, you know, immersed in this beautiful sound journey.
Cool. What I really liked about it was very non-judgmental. You know, there's no right or wrong way, and it's a cliche, but it literally was an environment where you felt you could dance like no one was watching.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're hoping for. I mean, I do, at the beginning of every session, I try and subtly weave in the guidelines effectively to make sure people feel that they're safe, that anything that they do or share won't be shared with in public, and that people can respect each other's journeys. It's really a space where people can drop their social masks and have fun. We spend so much of our lives trying to be or having to feel like we should be or do something. And this space is just for having fun. So, yeah. I'm glad you felt that.
Well, I can highly recommend it. You know, it's a completely unique way to connect with Chamonix, I think, and a chance to observe nature and to feel physically free to the sound of, you know, great tunes at the same time. I think that connecting with nature part of it is a really important element. You mentioned that earlier in relation to your location in Bosson.
Yeah, I think that taking that time at the beginning to allow the individual to land in whatever spaces and bringing the attention to whether it's the sky or the trees or the mountains or the rocks and connecting to your body in that space. And obviously we have such stunning scenery here that it's obviously lends itself to that experience. And then to be able to dance to music whilst being so immersed and surrounded by such incredible nature. Yeah, that's the very unique part of the experience, I feel.
And you mentioned that these are community sessions. So essentially, if someone, I think, follows you on the Instagram, you can find out when the next session is. You're able to go along and just join in on the day. But you also mentioned that you're doing kind of private sessions or private events as well.
Yeah, the idea is that whatever these kind of journeys we're creating could be completely bespoke or tailored to a group. I'm doing actually a 50th birthday in a couple of weeks, and the music will be very party and 80s low, perhaps all her favorite tracks. And so we'll create the playlist around what she would like to experience. And of course, guiding and bringing the group together as a birthday energy, it's a very different theme to play with. But we could also be running that for corporate. It could be a team building exercise. It could be a celebration. So anything really can be worked with the group, as long as we know what they're trying to achieve from the session. And people can suggest the music, and then we can work with our DJ. Andre can play whatever music, whatever style people are looking for. And so, yeah, it's a curated experience on many levels.
Cool. And how often do the silent sessions take place?
The community ones we're running about once a month. Sometimes we run them twice a month if there's particularly great conditions. But all of those will be announced. You can follow us on socials. There's Mountains and Valleys Retreats. There's the Silent Sessions Chamonix. But also there's the Silent Sessions website. So there's plenty of ways for people to find out about it. And we've also got WhatsApp groups that people can join if they're not on social media. So loads of opportunity to keep up to date with what we're doing.
Cool. Well, that's brilliant, Katie. I will put links to all of those in the show notes so people can find out more. And, you know, just to kind of summarize, you know, I would highly recommend it. You know, if you're coming to Chamonix, probably coming here to, you know, go skiing or to go hiking or something like this. This is a really unique way of getting a completely different experience out of any trip to Chamonix. So, you know, thanks very much. I look forward to trying to attend a future one down the track.
Thanks so much for having me, Ian. It's been such a pleasure. And I look forward to seeing you at the next dance.
I hope you found this look at the Silent Sessions project interesting. I love getting feedback from our listeners. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you have any comments, please do let me know. You can do that by leaving a comment on Spotify, Instagram, or Facebook, or drop me an email to theskipodcast@gmail.com. We're also on WhatsApp, and I release exclusive material ahead of each episode there. Look in the show notes for all those links. I have had feedback from several listeners since our last episode. Louise Cotter loved my chat with Aussie ski expert Rachel Oakes-Ash in episode 312. She said it was a fabulous listen. Susie Burt also enjoyed episode 312. She contacted me via Spotify to say, excellent episode, Ian. Rachel was so interesting and funny to listen to. Keep up the good work. And Jeremy Gibbon kindly contacted me to say, I absolutely loved your most recent episode on Chamonix. That was number 313. Thanks for all the time and effort that goes into putting together such an informative podcast. Can't wait for the special interviews with different people from the Valley. Well, hopefully, Jeremy, you are enjoying our Chamonix stories as well. There are now 315 episodes of the Ski Podcast to catch up with, all available at theskipodcast.com. And according to our stats, 137 of those were listened to in the last week alone. If you like to keep winter in your mind through the northern summer, then have a search around the tags and categories and you're bound to find something of interest. If you did enjoy this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, you are very welcome to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/theskipodcast. And I'd like to thank Jay, who very kindly bought me a coffee. They said, great podcast all year long. Please keep it up. Right. I'll be back next week with another Chamonix story, this time with Emil Wittrup Prestbrogard. Apologies, Emil, if I just mangled your name. Founder of Oak, a new app described as Tinder for the mountains. Until then, listener, thank you for joining us wherever in the world you're listening right now. And until next time, goodbye.